Hello, welcome everyone. Thanks for joining us to learn about Project Centennial and learn about how to bring your desktop apps to the Universal Windows platform. Alongside David Tepper, I'm Avneet Singh, and today we're really excited to talk to you about some of the Project Centennial tooling support that we will have available for you in April. By now, you've probably seen a lot of demo videos where we take desktop apps, convert them to UWPs, and show you how to take advantage of some of the most popular UWP features like notifications and live tiles and payment instrumentations. But before you do any of that, you have to get your desktop app deployed via an AppX package. And in this particular talk, we're going to focus on that aspect and help you flesh out some of the requirements to become a UWP app. Let's jump into the agenda slide and talk to you a little bit about what we have in store for you today. We're going to start off by talking about Project Centennial, like what is Project Centennial, and give you a brief overview. We will then jump into a conversion session where we'll take a desktop app, convert it to a UWP app using a new tool that we're producing called the Desktop App Converter. We will then jump into registering that app and launching it on your developer machine. And finally, we'll show you how to make modifications to the converted output to take advantage of some of the desktop extensions that are already out there. Let's start out by talking about Project Centennial. In a nutshell, Project Centennial is a bridge that allows you to take your desktop apps to the Universal Windows platform. We know that there's a huge ecosystem of desktop apps out there. Think of your .NET and Win32 apps. We don't want you to abandon your code base. With this new arm of UWP platform, we allow you to take that code base, make some modifications to it, and take advantage of all the WinRT APIs that are out there. That's really Project Centennial in a nutshell. And if you haven't already, we recommend that you go watch our Channel 9 video on Project Centennial. At this point, we're going to jump into our demo, and I'll walk you through this machine setup that I've got here. But before that, let me introduce the app that we're going to use for the conversion process today. So we're going to use one of the most popular multimedia apps out there called VLC. It's produced by VideoLand. And we'll run it through the desktop app converter, take that output and make modifications to it, and show you how that can be deployed to your machine. As you can see on your screens, we've got a Windows 10 host machine here that's running an OS image, which will be available to you in April. If you're a part of Windows Insider program, great. If you haven't already, please join the Windows Insiders program and you'll get this build in early April. On this machine, I've also downloaded the Desktop App Converter. As you can see here, the Desktop App Converter consists of two main entry points, the first one being the PowerShell, and then second one is command line. For the purpose of this session, we're going to use the PowerShell entry point, but you can also follow the command line one just as easily. On this machine, I've also downloaded the public installer for the VLC setup. As you can see right here, this is the site where I acquired the VLC setup from. Now to run the converter, we're going to switch to a PowerShell window, and please make sure it's running under administrator. Here's the command line that we're going to use for the converter. Let me go ahead and kick it off, and I'll explain to you what each of the parameters refers to here. As you can see on your screen, I'm using the PowerShell entry point for the desktop app converter. The first argument that I'm passing in is a pointer to the desktop setup for VLC installer, and it's just sitting on my desktop right now. The second one is a set of installer arguments that we're passing to the VLC setup so that it can run in an unattended mode with ENUS as the default language. Now, the reason I bring in the silent/unattended mode is because for the first few iterations of the converter, we're going to ask you to run the conversion under an unattended mode so we can run your installer without any user interactivity required. The next parameter, as you can see, is destination. This is where the converter is going to output your Universal Windows project. The next set of parameters define the identity for your UWP package. As you can see here, I'm using the package name VLC, publisher name of VideoLand, and then version of 0.0.0.1. Now, finally, one of the last parameters that we point to the converter is an expanded base image. Let me talk to you a little bit about what a base image is and why is it required. As part of the conversion, we're going to spin up an isolated Windows environment, and we use this base image to go do that. Think of it like a lightweight virtual machine that we will spin up, and we'll run your installer under this virtual machine and then capture all of the file system I/O and registry key writes or reads that it's doing. We'll capture this and package it as part of your UWP app so that it's available to you at runtime. Finally, the last parameter that we're using here is verbose to see exactly step-by-step what the converter is going through. Now, as you can see, the converter is already running. I'm going to scroll back up to the top of the output. And the very first phase that we do here is checking prerequisites. In this stage, the converter runs through a set of prerequisites to make sure that your machine is in the ready state for conversion process. If it isn't, we will let you know and you can make some modifications. After this stage, we validate all the input that you've provided us for your APEX. We then go ahead and set up your conversion environment where we're going to run your installer. Now, this includes checking for network connectivity because we want to make sure if your installer is going out to the web and grabbing any dependencies, it is able to do so. After this step, we use the identity information that you provided us on the command line to create an APEX manifest, which will be the core DNA of your application. We then run your installer in the isolated environment and create a virtual file system and registry hive that contains all the changes that your installer was making. Finally, we create the VLC out directory, which is the output directory for the converter, and this is where we place all of your UWP app. Now I'm going to hand it over to David Tepper, who's going to walk us through each of these components in detail, and he's also going to show us how to make modifications to this converted output and take advantage of some of the desktop extensions that are already out there. Great. David.
Thanks, Avneet. So here we are looking at the output of the converter, and just like Avneet said, there's three things here. There's a directory and two files, and all we're really going to do is drill into each of these and go over them in a bit more detail. So first we'll start with this VFS directory. VFS stands for Virtual File System. And if I click into here, you're just going to see a bunch of folders and files that were created by the VLC installer. So none of this is magic that the converter does automatically. And it's not too hard to convince yourself, if I go into this VLC directory for program files, that this is just all the same stuff that I would see if I installed VLC regularly. The only exception to this is the assets folder. Now, the assets folder is created by the converter and just has some dummy icons, which you'll see throughout the system after we install the app. There's also this registry.dat file. Now, just like the VFS is all of the changes that were made to the file system during VLC's install that were captured by the converter, the registry.dat file has all of the changes that were made to the registry that were captured by the converter. Now, the cool thing about this is that when the app actually is installed and runs, both the VFS and this registry will be loaded in process to the app. So to the app, it just seems like everything is installed exactly where it should be. And then last but not least, we have the APEX manifest.xml. But before we dive into that, I bet you just want to see this thing working already. So what I'm going to do is create an APEX package and then install that APEX package, and we'll see VLC running using this technology. And to do that, I'm just going to use this quick little pack.bat script. And once I kick it off here, I'll show you exactly what it's doing. So this is a super simple script. It only has two commands, and it's using two tools that are easily available in the Windows 10 SDK. The first is makeapex.exe, and all it's doing is packing this VLC out directory into vlc.apex. And then the next is signTool, and signTool is just signing the output using a test certificate that I created ahead of time. It's pretty quick. You can already see that it's done. So let's go ahead and install it. And to do that, we'll use PowerShell and the add apex package command. So now we're installing the package. Looks like it's done. We'll go to our start menu, V for VLC. And you notice that it's installed, and it has one of those really crappy icons that we talked about earlier. When I launch VLC, hooray, it works. This is VLC deployed from an APEX package. You'll also see that it has an icon down here that is not exactly what we want. And I can play movies with it. Pretty cool. So how do we change those icons? Well, that's where we get into editing the APEX manifest. So if you're not familiar with the APEX manifest, it's essentially the DNA of an APEX package. It contains a lot of important information such as the identity, or in this case, the logos that are being shown throughout the system. So in order to change these icons, all we really have to do is just change what the manifest is pointing at. Now they're all pointing at the assets directory right now, so let's just go into the VFS assets directory and put in some new icons. Easy enough. Now all we need to do is change these to point to the new icons. And last but not least, we're going to up the version so that this package is treated as an update to the old one. Easy enough. But we're not done, because it turns out that those icons weren't the only issue that we had with VLC installed in this way. If I go over to this MP4 movie, when I right-click and go to Open With, you'll notice that VLC doesn't show up on this list. And if I go to Choose Another App and even expand it to more apps, VLC is still not here. And the reason is because VLC is actually not registering for the MP4 file type when it's deployed via AppX. The old VLC deployer was registering for the file type, but it was being captured by the registry.dat. So in order for the app to register for this file type now, it has to do it in the way that UWP apps do it. And they do it by adding extensions to the AppX manifest. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and just add a quick XML snippet to the AppX manifest. Then I'm going to recreate the package and deploy it. And then while that's happening, I'll explain to you what this XML is doing. So let's kick off the new package. Now let's take a look at the XML. So the great thing about the UWP model is that in the past, as a developer, you'd have to author these really complex deployment experiences in order to get various extensions throughout the system to work. So VLC's installer, for example, had to go off and make a whole bunch of registry changes in order to register for the MP4 file type or to integrate with system protocols or many other different kinds of extensions that are out there. However, UWP automatically supports a number of them on your behalf. So you don't have to go and know how to twiddle the system. You just have to declare it in your XML, and it'll happen automatically for you. So in this situation, we've gone ahead and added one such extension, specifically a file type association, as you can see here. And we're handling the .mp4 file type. That's it. There's no messing with the registry. Everything's easy. So by now, the new package should be created. And all we're going to do is install it. Should go pretty quickly. We're done. And now we're going to see that not only are the file type registrations added to the system, but also we should have some new icons. So if I go to VLC, you'll see that it's here. It has the new icon. If I pin it to start, the tile looks great. When I launch it, the icon looks wonderful down here as well. I can still play movies on it. And most importantly, right-click, open with, you'll see VLC shows up in this list. And if I go to choose another app, you'll see that VLC shows up in this list as well. Now you might be asking yourself, hey, wait a minute, why doesn't this have the super cool icon? Well, we're actually going to leave it as an exercise to the viewer to go onto MSDN and discover how to add a logo to your file type association. And hint, it's just a little bit more manifest XML. It's super easy to do. When I click OK here, VLC loads up, it plays our video, everything looks great. Okay, cool. So we've shown you how to use one UWP extension, which is a file type association, but there's many more. In fact, there's also a bunch of new ones that we're creating specifically for converted desktop apps. And if you want to learn more about the ones that already exist or these new ones, check out the link that we have in the PowerPoint. The documentation for the new converted extensions aren't available yet, but they will be soon. If you want to get your hands on the desktop app converter, check out the link. If you have any more questions about Centennial, just check out our live talk or the keynote by following the link to Channel 9. And then finally, let us know how we did by clicking the link to the user voice. If you leave any comments in the Channel 9 page, we'll be sure to check it out and get back to you soon. Until we have more information about Centennial, we'll see you again later.